भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8 81 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड The Lord blesses Sudama Brahmana. Text number 28. Preetaha Swayam Taya Yuktaha Pravishto Nijamandiram Mani Stambha Shatopetam Mahendra Bhavanam यथा प्रीत स्वयं तया युक्त प्रविष्टो निज मंदिरम मणिस्तंभ शतोपेतम महेन्द्र भवनम यथा प्रीत स्वयं तया युक्त प्रविष्टो निज मंदिरम मणिस्तंभ शतोपेतम महेन्द्र भवनम यथा प्रीतः स्वयं तया युक्त प्रविष्टो निज मंदिरम मणिस्तंभ शतोपेतम महेन्द्र भवनम यथा Matajis. Pritah, pleased, Swayam, himself, Taya, by her, Yuktah, joined, Pravishtah, having entered, Nija, his, Mandiram, home, Mani, with gems, Stambha, columns, Shata, hundreds, Upetam, having, Maha Indra, of great Indra, the king of heaven, Bhavanam, the palace, Yatha, like. Translation: with pleasure he took his wife with him and entered his house, where there were hundreds of gem-studded pillars, just as in the palace of Lord Mahendra. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments that Sudama was simply astonished at the sight of his wife, as he wondered, who is this demigod's wife who has approached such a fallen soul as me? The maidservants informed him, this is indeed your wife. At that very moment, Sudama's body became young and beautiful, bedecked in fine clothing and jewelry. The word Pritaha here indicates that these changes gave him considerable pleasure. The famous thousand names of Vishnu hymn of the Mahabharata immortalizes Sudama's sudden presence in the following phrase, Shri Dama Ranka Bhaktarth Bhumyani Tendra Vaibhavaha. Lord Vishnu is also known as he who brought Indra's opulence to this earth for the benefit of his pitiful devotee Shri Dama, or also known as Sudama. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today is the last day of offering water to Tulsi Maharani and Shaligram Ji. This is the last day of this year, 2016. So for those of you who are always interested in seeing how the Supreme Lord in His various features are in His various features is wonderfully worshipped and served, we'll have this darshan today. Yesterday, it was being described that how the wife of Sudama, who in the words of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, had had a life-transforming experience in the night. Now generally, people when they go to sleep, they may have dreams. And when they wake up, they realize that they are not much different than what they were 6 hours before or 8 hours before. But on this particular night, when Sudama's wife, she got up in the morning, she was amazed to see that she is completely different. In the sense that her clothes and her house and people in the house, they were all not there when she had gone off to sleep. That is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. How many of you all would like to have an experience like that? Is it a wonderful experience? Just think about it. Yes? So Krishna consciousness is all about transformations. Sometimes there is so much of energy and so much of our attention goes to the struggle that we forget, or we may just lose sight of the wonderful gift, of the wonderful opportunity that is waiting for all of us at the end of the rainbow. You know, the golden pot, the pot of gold is there at the end of the rainbow, so to say. And sometimes it is very encouraging to hear literal transformations even from the external point of view. Who wouldn't like to become a millionaire overnight? Well, in this case, his wife became a millionaire first, and Sudama was going to have the opportunity to partake in it after a few hours. But what is interesting is that his wife, she felt the same kind of affection, she had the same kind of service or desire to serve her husband even after this transformation took place. She was not really affected by all the facilities and opulences that she had. Her attitude was not affected by that. Her attitude was still that she was very much connected to her husband. And all of the opulences that she had received, she wanted to share it with her husband and be with her husband, who is a devotee of the Lord. She is a devotee of the Lord. So we find this very amazing and encouraging, that an ordinary Brahmana lady who is practically unknown till the 81st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, she displays such exemplary qualities. Now, today's verse, if taken just as a standalone package, you know, sometimes you have those softwares that are standalone softwares. So today's verse, if you take it as standalone, then it appears to be really to do with all material opulences. Prita swayam taya yuktaha. Being very pleased, Sudama took her by her hand and led her into his palace, into his house, which was now decked with or bedecked with mani stambha, gems, jewels, shata upetam, hundreds and thousands of jewels. In today's times, even that is not available to many people, to have the opportunity on a particular occasion of our life where we have an opportunity to be bedecked with so many ornaments. Recently I was at a particular wedding ceremony. I was invited to charan sparsh karke jayega sadhu isliye. So I was invited there, and it was interesting because they were from this was a very very opulent community in India, and they were all bedecked with jewels. They are just with gold and different kind of jewels. I have no idea whether it was real or not. I trust it was real. Now sometimes there are occasions where somebody donates something really very, very opulent to the deities. Like I remember some years ago, there was service of
doing shringar for the deities. And Prem Kishore Prabhu, he said, Prabhuji, do you know how much this nose ring is worth? And when he mentioned that, I practically had a heart attack. Because sometimes when you take off all the, you know, you take off all the shringar in the evening, much goes along with the flowers. It goes in the nirmala. And this was a huge amount of money. And sometimes when we use those jewels, when we use those different ornaments, we are a little independently thoughtful. We try to adjust it according to how we feel comfortable trying to serve the deity. But with this particular jewel, I did not want to do anything. Because the sheer burden of its cost was weighing on us. Yes? Later on, I was talking with one devotee and I said that today I realized to certain extent an iota, a drop of understanding, how much burdensome Jagannath Das Babaji felt when he received 1 rupee coin. For me, this was lakhs of rupees. Practically, maybe, I don't know, thousands of rupees. And it seemed as if there was a huge burden on one. I was so careful. Now, translated for Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he had a 1 rupee coin put into his basket. After 2 kilometers, he tells Bihari, his servant would carry him on his head because he was so old and frail in a basket. He told him, go back, run Bihari, catch up with that gentleman. And he caught up with that gentleman and he gave him back his coin and he said, oh my God, this was so heavy. I wonder how you can carry so many coins in your pocket. So anyways, Sudama Brahman here, he is very happy. Pritaha, pleased. He's not disdainful, or he does not superficially just reject it. Ah, this is all Maya. In fact, if you just take this verse, it seems that he's becoming attached to it. With pleasure he took his wife with him and entered his house where there were hundreds of gem-studded pillars just as in the palace of Lord Mahendra. So, unless and until this verse is seen in conjunction with the following verses that comes, this verse could be taken as, you know, it could be as a sanction to enjoy material pleasure. I was told this story many decades ago, at least 10 to 15 years ago, about one particular gentleman who had a deity in his house because his ancestors, it was an ancestral deity, and he would always offer the deity whatever he would honor, whatever he would consume, he would eat or drink. He was very much attached to drinking tea. You know, the regular tea, not the Gokul tea. The tea that in Krishna consciousness we say that we will not, it is a practice that we will not drink because it is an intoxicant. She would every day have this cup of tea, a few cups of tea, and that tea would always be offered. Now, because we are from a community where we do not accept tea, we are confused. We are shocked. And he probably, the tradition is not understood. So he is still trying to do things which he thinks is the mechanical way to do. So he is still offering tea to the deity because he wants to have tea. Yes? So in the future verses, we'll see that Sudama actually partakes of all the opulences that are there. He actually uses it. And the reason is given why he uses it. Why does Krishna offer benedictions to a devotee like Sudama? Why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu become happy when Raghunath Das Goswami rejects his pension, rejects the money that comes from his house The Supreme Lord is independent and he can do as he desires. But it doesn't mean that he is whimsical. It is based on how the Supreme Lord feels that his devotee would react. It depends on that. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yogam, Shikshartham, Shikshartham, Purusha Purana, Vairagya Vidya, Shiksha Artha. In order to teach to the entire population, the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and most of his devotees, they showed such high levels of renunciation, like Raghunath Das Goswami, typical example, Sarup Damodar Goswami, Goswami, another example, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, so many examples. And here we find that Krishna has given opulences to Sudama. Sudama is thinking that Krishna has offered it to him because he knew that he had come to beg of Krishna. He hadn't voiced it, but Krishna could understand. And he felt so very comfortable and he felt so very cared for that Krishna could satisfy his heart's desire even though he did not voice it. Now Shukadev Goswami, he states that Krishna, he knew that Sudama could handle this without being burnt. He was confident that Sudama would be able to handle this opulence and not be disillusioned by it. In the fourth canto, there is the incidence of Maharaj Priyavrat. As a young man, he was very much inspired by the teachings of Sri Narad Muni. So he left his palace, all his opulences, he gave up his inheritance and went into the Himalayas and practiced meditation and practiced such difficult austerity. And one day he receives a WhatsApp message from his father. My dear son, please come back. So it takes some convincing by different people. Finally, he does come back. However, when he is coming back, he has had a reassurance that although he will be engaged in the affairs of managing the kingdom, which means his senses would be engaged with the sense objects, he would not in the ultimate sense, in the long run, he would not be held responsible or accountable for interacting with the sense objects. In the long run, Sudama did not want to have any such assurances or reassurances. So we find that there are so many different kinds of devotees who, according to their persona, according to their desire, and according to how Krishna is connected to them, they have so many individual ways of portraying the same concept. There are so many individual examples. Now, if we take this and understand the mood of the spiritual planets, the mood of Goloka Vrindavan, understand the flow of emotions there, it is so very wonderful to know that this is how individually, although someone may be, few people may have a similar kind of service, but individually they are so different. And there's no need to imitate someone else. There's no need to feel competitive or there's no need to feel envious. Because someone else brings about the same result and does it in another way which we feel is much more perfect than the way we do it. So we find all of these examples. In this verse, Sudama is becoming very pleased, which means he is becoming enthusiastic about the opulences that he has received. Should we feel enthusiastic if we get opulences in Krishna consciousness? That always haunts many devotees, this question. Because the danger is always there. So here, therefore, those of us who come from such a background of or such an impression in Krishna consciousness, we may become a little concerned. Why is he feeling so happy? Shouldn't he be asking questions? Shouldn't he be trying to, you know, protect himself? So previously he was poor, he was downtrodden, he was Krishna conscious. Similarly, it appears that his Krishna consciousness is bearing fruit now. Or that could be the conclusion. Just see. Just because you are so Krishna conscious, despite all the trials and tribulations. Generally, if someone is very poor and is having a very tough time, unless and until they are doing it voluntarily because they are concerned about their devotional life, generally it is accepted that poverty means it is a reaction of previous activities which are wrong. In the previous life, there were so many things that we did not do it the correct way, and now we are getting the reactions for it. So someone could say, just see, by karma, Sudama was supposed to be poverty stricken and miserable, and just because he rendered devotional service to Krishna, now he has become so very opulent. And now he is so happy. In fact, the chapter will end and after that there won't be any mention of Sudama or his wife. Unless until, you know, some of us go to the spiritual world and meet him. There won't be much information. There's not much information given in other Puranas also. And the chapter ends with, he lived a very happy life with all the opulences that was there. And Sukhdev Goswami concludes by saying that finally the goal of all of that was his renunciation and his service to Krishna. So the Acharyas explain that just as when we receive some Mahaprasad of the deities, like we receive the garland Mahaprasad of the deities, or we see some cloth Mahaprasad of the deity, then a devotee becomes very enthusiastic and happy to have received it. And a devotee would also wear that garland throughout the day. Now other people may think that, let's see, this is what this devotee had been waiting for. There is a possibility like that. But because it is the Mahaprasad of Krishna and Krishna is wanting to give his devotee his Mahaprasad, hence a devotee accepts that with humility and sincerely tries to serve that Mahaprasad by accepting it and honoring it. So Sudama, Brahman and his wife, they are thinking that because Krishna has offered this to us, therefore it is Krishna Mahaprasad. And hence, they were honoring that as remnants of Krishna, and therefore, they were not having the facility to enjoy those opulences simply for their sense gratification. Just because they were honoring it, you know, just as a prasadam prayers, we say that this tongue is simply a meshwork. It is a network of disaster. It is a network that completely binds one. But Krishna is so merciful that he has given his Mahaprasad, his Anna Prasadam. Now with that, we are going to conquer this network, this mesh. of the different senses that have come together to bind us, to pull us down. So as soon as a devotee understands that and is accepting prasad, honoring it, is grateful for it, and willingly, with great pleasure, serves prasad, Mahaprasad of the Lord, then that devotee does not have the facility to enjoy the material taste, does not have the facility to enjoy the material benefits of the same objects. Even with regards to the holy names, in one of his purports, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he makes this very clear that as long as the tongue is serving the holy name, then the tongue does not have facility to engage in prajalpa. And the mind is also free from so many different doubts and confusions. However, if the tongue is vibrating the holy name, but one is not serving the holy name as Krishna himself, one is not using the tongue to taste the remnants of the dust of Krishna's lotus feet in the form of Harinam Prabhu, then the mind avails of the facility of engaging in so many other activities, and the tongue is also not capable of pronouncing the holy names clearly and without hindrance. Apratihata, that does not happen. Because then the tongue will want to vibrate something else. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Prabhu, have you done that? So that is a new mantra. Yes? There are many devotees who have the experience of how people actually try to give them good advice. And the good advice is that you should try and balance everything. Just as the example of Sridhar Kolavech is there. One of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj's disciples was describing the activities of Sridhar Kolavech, and he said, Kolavech means, he says, he is a merchant who sells products from the banana plant. However, it was his practice that 50% of that he would use to worship Mother Ganga. Maybe somebody should tell our Prime Minister, give him this example. With his Swachh Bharat Abhiyan and Swachh Ganga Abhiyan, Sridhar Kolavech could be the brand ambassador. Because 50% of his income he would use to serve Mother Ganga. And he wouldn't earn so much that he was very wealthy. So sometimes he would not even be able to have 2 square meals a day. Sometimes on days on end he would not have 2 square meals. However, he was so very addicted to chanting the holy names of the Lord that occasionally, or many times, when he was completely engrossed in chanting the holy names, his tongue would vibrate the holy names loudly. Now during the day he was doing his business, but at night he really took this to heart and he would chant throughout the night, and sometimes at night he would chant so loudly that the neighbors would get disturbed. When I was small, growing up in our family, we got an opportunity to purchase an apartment, a flat. We moved into this community. In India, many times such housing societies and communities, they'd always have a temple in some corner. The Vastu, northeast corner, there'd always be a temple. Now, growing up, before coming to Krishna consciousness, because of so much feedback from all the other residents, the temple was the last place around which one should have an apartment. Because early morning, 5 o'clock, people would come and ring the bell. You don't even need to put on the alarm. So all the apartments that were around close to the temple, practically people would have fights when these society meetings would take place. That temple timing should be late after 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, generally the temple timings are based on the movement of the sun. Now, can we make the sun rise later on? No, we can't. That was one of the reasons also, one devotee was telling me that was one of the reasons also why in a village a temple would always be outside the village. So that people would not unnecessarily get disturbed in the morning. Plus there are other reasons also. Anyways, so Sridhar Kolevej would be chanting loudly and the neighbors would get disturbed, and sometimes they would actually come with a few rotis and throw it across the boundary wall or the small hedge that was there and tell Sridhar, eat this and keep quiet. Now that we've heard. But our Swamiji, one of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he was saying, there are some people who had genuine concern for Sridhar. And they said, Sridhar, you're earning like 1 rupee a day, out of which 50 paisa you spend on, you know, worshipping Mother Ganga. Now, every day when you spend 50 paisa on worshipping Mother Ganga, do you know in a month if you save 50 paisa, how much money you make in a month? 15 rupees. Now, if you take that 15 rupees and invest in stocks, you'll have a good retirement plan. Sridhar, we are concerned about you. Right now, you are young. But when you grow old, who will take care of you? And you are already wasting 50 paisa. So why don't you invest it? Have you heard advice like that ever? Especially householder devotees. Yes. And Sridhar would say, if Krishna wants me to be rich, then I will be rich. But Mother Ganga is a devotee of Krishna and 50% of my income I will use to serve her. And he was very poor. Sridhar was also very poor. So people thought that, you know, sometimes, this is another misconception that people have, they think that just because one does not have the facility to enjoy material pleasures, therefore one makes one tries to show off by trying to do extra religious activities. And that is what Sridhar Kolevej was also accused of. Why do you have to show off? Do you think we cannot? You only give 50 paisa to Mother Ganga. Do you know last month I gave 50 rupees? Sridhar wasn't being renounced, he wasn't being who he was just because he wanted to be aloof or he wanted to trouble himself. It is just that his mind was peaceful when he served Mother Ganga like that. It was just that the senses would stay peaceful for him when he served Mother Ganga like that. Because he wouldn't have any opportunity to do anything else. And it was not just because he wanted to forcefully stop himself from engaging in material pursuits. No, he willingly wanted to serve Mother Ganga. The side effect of that, or the benefit of that, was that his senses were not having the facility to engage the sense objects, and therefore his mind was peaceful. And that is what Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita. Apuryamanam achalam pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yad tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shanti maapanoti na kama kami. There is this great meditative sage. This meditative sage is like an ocean. This meditative sage is like a person who is within this ocean of material desires. Those material desires are without and within. However, the inflow and outflow and the movement of these material desires does not accumulate within the ocean of his consciousness. His chitta samudra, it does not accumulate there, or it does not affect him, even though they flow in or they flow out. Why? Because he's so deep, and because of the very depth of his practice of Krishna consciousness, unmoved by material desires, unmoved by the inflow and outflow of material desires. Sudama Brahman is getting so much facility, this inflow. Sridhar Kolavech, there was so much that was going from him, outflow. But neither of them felt that, oh, now I have so much I have to enjoy. Oh, now I've lost so much, tomorrow I have to work more hard to get more to enjoy. So shanti maapanoti na kama kami. So such a person is peaceful. Why is such a person peaceful? Because such a person has a very simple logic. You see, if you are in a dream, and in a dream you become a millionaire, you have a Rolls Royce, you know, you get to own Antilla with your own helicopter pad. In the dream, you like sleep every day on a different floor. You have your lunch, dinner on different floors because there are so many floors. I don't know how each must be being used. Now, as soon as you wake up from the dream, should we start crying? Oh, I was enjoying so much. I had so much money. Now I don't have anything. Dreams can sometimes do that. So for a person who is completely engrossed in his within himself, meditating on Krishna, for such a person, material life is just like a dream. And that person, being in his wakeful state, he does not feel a loss for that which has been happening around in material life. And thus, such a person willingly lets go of Maya. You know, when a sage was asked by a king that what is Maya, the sage willingly caught the tree and said, please free me, please free me. And the king said, hey, you just let go of the tree. And he says, no, please help me, please free me. He says, if you let go of the tree, you'll be free. So willingly let go of. Material desires are there. There's nothing much we can do about it as long as in the material world we are there. Material desires are a problem, but a bigger problem is attachment to material desires. Attachment to being detached from material desires. Attachment to being attached to material desires. Giving so much of importance to material desires that practically we do not have time to give importance to the real substance, Krishna. Krishna consciousness. Somehow or the other, if we find a way to dovetail our propensities in Krishna consciousness, like this devotee, he was finding it so difficult to stay in the ashram. Was a brahmachari in the ashram, like this morning every day, wake up, chanting, you know, services, that he wanted to leave and just stay in the outside community. But he thought, I'll leave after the Sunday feast. This was on those days when Sunday feast was the only feast for the week. And especially if I, you know, the sweet rice and the rasgulla. So Sunday comes, he eats so much sweet rice and rasgulla that he is not able to move. So he just... And by that time the sweet rice and the rasgulla is digested, it is Wednesday. And when it is Wednesday and he again gets a desire, he says, okay, now I should pack my bags and leave. He thinks, oh, Sunday is right around the corner. Now in the outside world, where would you get a feast like that? And week after week, it's been now 40 years that this devotee has been in Krishna consciousness. So, dovetailing one's propensity. Yes. One likes to eat sweet rice, rasgullas, stays over for Sundays, then purification happens, and then one stays because one wants to serve. So we are eternal spirit soul. Just because we are eternal doesn't mean that we have to eternally remain here in this material world. That is not a good concept. It is not very good that we eternally want to be in illusion. Krishna is such a big scientist and he's got such a huge intelligence that he has created the biggest virtual reality around us. And we are all engrossed in this virtual reality, playing our own game will and fruit wills. But we are not supposed to be eternally playing these games. We are eternal spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna. And here, Sudama ji is encouraging us to partake of Krishna's prasad with enthusiasm, with reverence, being grateful. And thus, let our senses be peaceful, let our mind be peaceful, and let us practice Krishna consciousness by sincerely chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we may not really deserve it, but if Krishna feels that we can handle it, then we can be billionaires in this world too. That is what Sudama became overnight. A multi billionaire. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.